Jen, you've been designated to be the spokesperson for that group back there, right?
Yeah, they're all chickened out.
Well.
Please state your name for the.
John Freeman, Southern Oregon Horse Racing Association. Listening to Bill, he kind of cleared up a few questions, but I would like to see what he said wrote into the bill, because I think that we have to have some protection for the horses. And if we don't have some protection for the tracks, the small tracks at least, we're going to be out of luck. I think that one of the things is, I don't think dogs should have horse racing. That's my way of putting it. I think we shouldn't have dog races at our racetrack. So, and another thing that I think that track, licensed track, should be the one that would have the deal to put this off betting on. I don't think it should be parlors or anything else. I think it should be from the track. And another thing, I think that there should be a big distance between the off-betting parlors and the tracks. I guess that's about all I've got to say.
Committee, have some questions? Yes, Representative Phillips?
Sure, just a point of clarification, since I sat on the committee, we had every intention to protect the local races, and Grants Pass was one that we talked about extensively. So I think that certainly the intention. We discussed putting a 60-mile limit or a 50-mile limit on a parlor from Portland out, and would be. We then talked about 40, so Salem could be the closest one. Then we talked about the concept of allowing the individual who put on the show, the dog races or the horse races, to work with the commission and have control over where that parlor, if you will, or that establishment to bet would be located, thinking that in the Portland area you can cover a considerable distance going from East Multnomah County to say Beaverton, because that's where Chairman Jones is from. So it was discussed and decided that there should be some flexibility rather than the 60 miles or a mileage. Yeah. Does that meet with the Racing Commission and the race licensee having that veto power, plus all the other, having the local options to veto it? Does that meet your concerns for a mileage?
Well, I think that it should be set, the mileage. It does bother me on that.
Okay.
Representative.
Yes, I am.
Let me ask a couple of clarifying questions, if I may. Mr. Freeman, you indicated, I think, one of your concerns was the distance, and Representative Phillips mentioned that. As I understood what you answered, is if it were stated in the bill, the distance that you're talking about, you would feel more comfortable with that. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
You do not feel comfortable leaving it to the Racing Commission to make that decision?
No.
Okay. The other question then was the ability of the dog track, the horse track, for example, in your case, because that's what you're representing. If you wish to have races that are from other locations, you would not want that to be interchanged. You would not want to have dog races, for example, available in your track on video screens or whatever. Mm-hmm. You feel that should be, that those two should be separated. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Now, was the other concern that you mentioned, I'm trying to remember what the other concern was, that the ability of the local people to veto or prevent a parlor if that is their wish. Was that the other concern?
Yes,
you had?
Yes, ma'am.
So that a parlor could not come in without the local people allowing it to come in?
Correct.
Okay. Other than those issues, do you oppose the concept, or does your association oppose the concept of the off-track betting?
I don't think that we oppose the off-track betting. I think we oppose the way the bill was wrote.
Because it didn't have enough of the protection
yes.
in it that you were looking
yes,
for.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Representative
Thank
Peterson.
You. Mr. Freeman, could you explain a little more why you would object to dogs on video if it increased your take? I mean, this doesn't mean bringing in another race. It means giving people a chance to bet on other kinds of things.
Well, I don't think the two of them mix.
Okay, just a personal feeling.
Yes, ma'am.
They don't go. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Freeman. I know you've traveled a long way to come to testify.
Thank you a lot.
Keith Burns.
Chairman Jones and members of the committee, my name is Keith Burns. I represent the Multnomah Kennel Club. A couple of things I'd like to get out of the way. We hear about parlors and so forth. It has a various different connotation with different people. In explaining to you what we visualize as to what we would like to do as far as off-track wagering is concerned, the term parlor doesn't describe it. Number two, about the last dollar or last quarter or last 50-cent piece being spent, anything that we propose would charge an admission, and not like a lottery ticket where you go and pick it up, you're going to be there where it is anyway at a grocery store or something. Parimutuel wagering is a spectator event where people come for entertainment and they're handicapping. Therefore, there's a chance, a risk, that you are participating in that risk. Depending upon your ability to handicap, that determines whether or not you're going to win. And 85 cents approximately on the dollar goes back to the bettor. Now that can vary a little bit depending upon what the Racing Commission or the legislature dictates. We don't like to have a greater takeout than around 16% because we think it reduces the handle. It discourages people. People are fairly smart when it comes to wagering. They like to see their odds. Now, with a lottery ticket, of course, only 45 cents goes back to all the bettors. And there isn't it's just kind of a hope when you buy a lottery ticket. Well, you go to a parimutuel track, you're out there, and you got something besides just sitting back and waiting to see if your number appears in a newspaper. It's peculiar that so much advertising has to go into a lottery because of all the free advertising the media gives them. The media gives the lottery industry more free advertising than they give to the biggest advertising account they have. They're searching for the person that's got the $1 million ticket that goes on, you know, day after day, where is he, and so forth. And then they have the in-depth interviews with the family. And you could stop a lottery, you'd have about as good a chance of stopping it spreading to every state in the Union as you would a tornado, because they have it all over in all the media all the time. So they have a built-in advertising thing. We've been here for the Multnomah Kennel Club started the same year that this legislature passed the Parimutuel Wagering Act, which is 1913. And they've been operating every year. We are the second state in the Union to legalize parimutuel wagering. The state of Florida did it 2 years before we did. We included horses at the same time we did greyhounds. The horses started running 13 years later in 1946. It's been something where people have put their money in through purchasing stock to build a facility, just like people who, any kind of business, do the same thing. They built a facility, no cost to the state. It's in the private sector. The people are on a payroll out in the private sector, unlike a lottery that has people in the state. The state's in the gambling business in the lottery. They're not in the gambling business here. The only people who gamble, the people come to the track. The track doesn't gamble. All it does is provide the facilities. So we're just talking about a business, and the bottom line is narrow. You heard about the Teletrack Theater in New Haven, Connecticut. The amount that they earned in 1984, prior to paying taxes, was exactly the gross amount that they took in on admissions, $1.7 million. These type of facilities cannot live off of the meager amount that the state permits the track to take out of that handle. They have to have bodies there that's going to purchase the product of food, beverage, parking, programs, and so forth. And if they don't have that, they can't make it. So it's a business that has to be very carefully managed if they're going to make any money at all, just like any other business. They have more at stake than anybody because they're the ones who got the stockholders' dollars invested. And that's why it's a clean, entertaining, we believe in strong regulation so that our product is protected. And so that's what we're doing here. All we want to do is do what the law already permits you to do. We need legislation to implement it, because you've got to have some way of getting out there, a ladder, so to speak, to take the product out to other sectors of the state, because it doesn't make any, it's impossible to go out and build a track in each location, because you've got to have enough people there, and that wouldn't justify that investment. So we're saying a more modest investment, but having the same thing, that you'd have the track as near as possible to do so. I'd like to pass up these pamphlets to you. This is a little pamphlet put out by the Teletrack Theater in New Haven, Connecticut, and the history of that is a little bit interesting. For many, they have a live greyhound track in Connecticut. They also have a lottery there. They wanted to have live horse racing there, but the horse interests from New York were able to come over and out-lobby the state of Connecticut and its own legislature so that they wouldn't have horse tracks in Connecticut competing with the New York tracks. And so the state of Connecticut had General Instrument Corporation, a Fortune 500 company, build and has it operating this Teletrack Theater for the state of Connecticut. Now what they do this by microwave. They pick up the race from the host track in New York and goes up the signal on top of the Empire State Building and shoots down into New Haven, Connecticut. You're watching the race exactly the way it's run there. You're probably seeing it better. It's on a 24 by 32 foot screen. You have, if you look up here, starting here's the outside of this theater that's 150 feet across in diameter, 60 feet high. You see down here what they call the grandstand. Those are big plush seats where people can come and go without disturbing their neighbor. They're so wide aisles. They can go out to a fast food service out there to the side, to their tote machines and so forth. You look down on the grandstand over here. They also have these balconies out here, which is what they call the clubhouse. And then up above that, you have this first-class dining facility. And they have some private rooms up there. If any of you have been out to the Molo Kennel Club and been to that VIP room up there, it's similar to that, where you can seat 22, 34 people, where business people can bring their guests, or you can have private parties and stuff at the Teletrack Theater. You see everything here that you see at the track. And you have the same program there. And up on the tote board, on these pictures, what they do is they cut out the odds and everything there, because the odds are made just for this Teletrack Theater. And that's so it's different than it is at the New York track. So they generate their own odds there. They have their own pool. And here in Oregon, with these something, this similar type concept, but it'd be far more modest, of course, the pool would be the same as the host track if you're bringing it in from such as the Greyhound track or Portland Meadows. And you'd have your own pool in Oregon if you're bringing it in from outside the state. But that's our concept. We have never visualized anything other than where you would have a place where you'd have the maximum amenities possible, with dining, beverage service. You'd be charging admission. And that's what we visualize in doing with off-track wagering. You today have complete security in transmitting that by microwave, satellite, we strongly favor, in fact, I propose it, I think Representative Phillips would confirm this during our meetings at the interim committee on this subject, that local options should be there, that they should have this only in localities where it's not prohibited by local ordinance. We don't want to be any place we don't want it. The state shouldn't be imposing their views of what the destinies of the locality should be. The locality should be able to determine that for itself. And that should take care of those concerns. We feel that we should not run competitively with any existing paramutual wagering facility in the state of Oregon, such as the county fair and so forth, where they have these type of things. I think that 3 to 5 years that the handle in which the state, the tracks share, could increase by 50% the state of Oregon with these type of facilities. Greyhound racing is very popular. It's one of the largest spectator events in the United States, although it's in a limited number of states. We have the largest, as far as permutual wagering is concerned, more people watch it at the Greyhound track than any other track in the state of Oregon. We think it will be popular all over the state. You asked about mixing greyhound racing and horse racing. The Teletrack Theater, they have long envisioned bringing the live greyhound track into this Teletrack Theater also. It's never occurred, and I can't exactly explain why, but I think they still envision having greyhound racing at this Teletrack Theater. I guess that's all I had to say, and be happy to try to answer any questions you might have.
You said that we shouldn't get into, or the state shouldn't impose that parlors be established in localities where they don't want them. Should that be the only restriction, just whatever the local folks want, or do you want to see us put in any mileage restriction here? Or
I don't think you need the mileage the way this bill is. I don't object to it. But because you have that clause in there where the Racing Commission, they would not permit licensing at a location that would compete with the local track. I'm sorry, I didn't make my copy of the bill up there, but there's a section in there that does that. And we wanted that in there because we didn't want to have a facility 10 miles from the track detracting from the attendance at the track. We wanted that. And I think it's only fair that that be in there to protect other existing tracks that have those limited number of days of race meets.
Yes, Representative Peterson.
Thank you. Keith, this is a wonderful idea, and it looks a lot like Portland to me, but I have trouble translating that to Southern Oregon or Eastern Oregon. Can you talk about, I mean, is food necessarily required? Is it up to the individual? Could it be a little corner store? I mean, can you discuss a little what it might look like in the rural areas?
Okay. The original facilities here cost $8 million. Obviously, we're not talking about an $8 million facility. Today, it probably cost $10 or $20 million to do it. The state of Connecticut practically gave them the land to build on. They have 8 acres there. Most of it's in parking. Connecticut, they're likely, we are in Oregon. They don't detach themselves from their automobile. We envision this being probably in an existing, underused facility. You go to Pendleton, you can go to Medford, you can go to Klamath Falls, you go to Astoria, you go to places like that, and you'll find restaurants there with banquet rooms, dining facilities, and so forth, that are underused. I think with this, you have to go in someplace where there's those type of facilities already in existence. Maybe expand upon them, or maybe they start out with just the way that facility is. You're going to have a much more modest screen there. Sony now has a screen that's a flat screen that's 64 square feet, the exact dimensions. I don't know if it's 8 by 8 or what it is, but would work very well in a smaller facility such as that, what we're talking about. We see them seeing the race that happens and having all the amenities there to the extent possible. You charge an admission for people to get in there. So it is. We're not talking about a grocery store where they're going in with a tote machine. We're talking about where they see the race, they have the program from the race. We're trying to duplicate it to the same extent that you would have it at the actual track where the race is being run. And you're going to be watching it at the same time it's being run. Now that's the way you're talking about a limited number of places. Last time I testified on this for a committee last year, they said, what about a limit of 10? I said, fine. Because we got 10 such places in 2 or 3 years or something like that were successful, we'd be very pleased. We find it more successful than we anticipate, and come back to the legislature and lift it. But that's, I just cite that to give you an example of what we're talking about. We're not proposing a limitation of 10. The horse racing industry and the people from Portland Meadows have testified that they have a little different concept that they're looking at. And we're not opposed to each other. And we're not asking to restrict so that they have to operate within our concept of it. I'm just talking about Multnomah Kennel Club.
Thank you. Any further questions? Keith, thank you.
Thank you.
John McCulley?
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm John McCulley, representing the Oregon Fairs Association. Just wanted to appear before the committee to let you know of our interest in the bill, that we have no objections to House Bill 2060. The fairs would benefit by the passage of an off-track betting bill in that an additional generation of dollars coming to the state would be shared with all of the county fairs in the state. For those of you who may not be aware of it, the existing racing revenues that are received by the state of Oregon, a portion of those do go to the 36 county fairs in the state of Oregon. So it's an important source of funding for the county fairs in the state. In addition, there are, I think, 7 county fairs that conduct their own race meets during the time of the county fair. And in addition, the county fair racetrack serves as a host track for other nonprofit organizations who also conduct race meets. So this is important from that standpoint. Some initial concerns that we had during the interim committee's discussion of this issue dealt with the adverse economic impact that could result from having an off-track betting facility in operation at the same time as a county fair race meet or a nonprofit or smaller race meet was occurring. We think that the language that is in the bill now talking about, line 23, substantial adverse impact, which would be determined by the commission, addresses our concerns to a great degree. I would say that we are not totally comfortable with that, but do understand the need for the flexibility that the Racing Commission has in determining what that may be. So we would be willing to accept the substantial adverse impact as the language that would drive to be determined to determine whether or not there was a conflict with an existing race that was going on. And listening to Mr. Reagan's testimony and what he would do in the Southern Oregon situation at Grants Pass, if that is on the record and stated, I think that would be acceptable to us. The other concern that we had that was also addressed during the interim committee done to our satisfaction is in Section 5 of the bill dealing with how the monies received from the off-track betting would be distributed. And it was our understanding from those involved that the intent was that the monies received would be distributed as they are now in the state statute. And with that provision, we also agree with that. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Anyone have questions for John? John, you're getting out easy.
I love it. Thank you.
We have two who have said they would come forward for questions. Dave Nelson and Rob Douglas, would you both like to come at the same time?
Chairperson Jones, my name is Dave Nelson, and members of the committee, my name is Dave Nelson, I represent Portland Meadows. And also for the sake of the outside, the outstate small meets, I'll also represent the Oregon Quarter Horse Association, since we make up about half of the races that take place at Grants Pass and at Prineville and places like that around the state. We have participated through the course of the interim with Representative Phillips and the subcommittee that worked on this measure, and have generally supported it all the way through. We think that it, in round tones, I guess, is a pretty well-balanced measure. We certainly appreciate the concerns of the Southern Oregon Racing Association, those other small meets who struggle from year to year to put on a good program in their areas. And if you have never been to the Grants Pass race meet, I would encourage you to do it. It resembles the old Sisters Rodeo before they tore the old facility down. Everybody hoops and yells and has a good time. And it's one of those things, they close the town and everybody goes. And when they get done with the race meet, well, they go back downtown. But anyway, it's a great time and everybody has a good time. It's, I think, you know, the maybe the second best race meet from the Quarter Horse Association in the state, not to take anything away from the Oregon State Fair, which is probably 1A or 1B, somewhere along the line. I would like to disagree with one thing that Bill Reagan commented to you, and that would be the effects of the lottery as far as Portland Meadows' estimation of those effects in the first and second year anyway on Portland Meadows. I think the article or the editorial that Representative Miller read is very accurate, and what Mr. Burns said is very accurate. They will get a ton of free advertising in direct competition for the wagering entertainment dollar. And whether that's $2 or whatever it may be at a ticket, they're going to have an adverse effect, we believe, on Portland Meadows, and we're going to have to compete very, very strongly with that. Portland Meadows' estimate is that the adverse impact in the first year will be something on the order of 7 to 10% adverse effect on the handle in that first year. We'll see. Hopefully, the timing will be such that most of the adverse impact will be on the dog track, and they'll get it out of their system before we start in the fall. But anyway, as far as the types of facilities, I think that generally we're agreed with what Keith has described to you as the kinds of facilities. You're looking at one per about 10 or 12 communities around the state. That would certainly fall into the category as being of interest to both Portland Meadows and to Multnomah Kennel Club. I think it would probably behoove both of those commercial entities to get together and say, well, you use one in the summer and we'll use one in the winter, and avoid duplication of investment in those kinds of facilities and come to some kind of agreement on that. I think that that's the only way that it can really be practical for both of them to, instead of having two facilities in the same town or something like that. Other than that, I think that everything has pretty well been said.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Dave?
Rob Douglas, representing the Oregon Thoroughbred Breeders Association. And the Board of the Thoroughbred Breeders has followed these off-track betting bills with great interest. To the extent that they increase interest in horse breeding and from that increase interest in Oregon thoroughbreds, we favor the concept of off-track betting. We do share the concerns put forth by the Southern Oregon race meet folks here tonight, and we feel those are legitimate concerns that should be answered. Beyond that, the Board of the Oregon Thoroughbred Breeders is united in one other concern, and that is that the revenues from this activity would be dispersed by the Racing Commission as the Commission sets by rulemaking process, not set in the statute. We would like to see how exactly that's going to work, how that distribution would be from various race meets, various off-track facilities, what those percentages actually are. Before we would want to see that sort of authority granted to the Racing Commission without legislative action, we'd just like to see some sample distributions to see exactly what those numbers are. And our support for this proposal would be contingent upon examining those numbers.
I see. Questions? Yes.
The breakdown now, is it set in statute? No, oddly enough, Representative Phillips, it is not.
Have you had any problems with it to this day?
To date, the Racing Commission has followed what was previously in statute.
Thank you.
But we would like to see that again in statute and not just purely discretion of the Racing Commission.
Can you tell me how long ago it was removed from statute?
It was removed in the last special session, I believe.
That's at the point when the Portland Meadows. Yes. Okay. So we don't have a very long history of knowing exactly what, I understand what you're saying. Okay. Any other questions? Did you wish to comment, Dave?
Yeah, Madam Chairman, Dave Nelson again. The horse racing distribution of funds is a rather complicated set of numbers, and there are various beneficiaries to those numbers, and all of those beneficiaries generally have felt much more comfortable having them set forth in the statutes as opposed to being left to the constant harangue or the battle before the Racing Commission as to what those numbers ought to be.
Okay. Other questions?
Yes. Yeah. Excuse me. So are you saying, Mr. Nelson, that you'd like it back in statute?
We didn't want it to come out in the first place. So okay. I think it just goes to be said that we would like to see it recreated. Whether this is the bill that it ought to be created in, we think that there's probably another bill that those numbers ought to be dealt with, not this one.
Representative Phillips, did you address that in your item committee?
That's why I asked the question. There was some discussion as to whether there were going to be any problems, and I was real curious as if something had come up in the last 3 months to indicate there was a problem after we had heard that there wasn't any controversy. And we talked about it, but not in this format of putting it in. And I don't, Al Young's here, maybe he can, I don't think it was really a serious.
Do you wish to comment, Al? Representative Young?
No. Madam Chair, whether or not it was actually put in statute, we would like to see on paper what the Racing Commission would have in mind if they went ahead and did it by rule.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you both very much. Not knowing what the committee's feeling is, I would like to recommend that Christy get some amendments drafted that would...